Well, how do I? Alec Attic, my name is Carl. Thanks, Rusty. Love you too, brother. Maybe some of those times you shouldn't have followed me. I have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. I talk to my sponsor on a semi-regular basis, but I use him a lot. I have a home group. It's Tuesday night, the Well Group in Wales. The only time I miss that meeting is if I'm out of town, and that happens a bit. But so let's start from the beginning, right? I want everybody to close your eyes, okay? Think of that first memory when you were a kid, that first thing. Let it come to you. You got it? Okay, here's mine. I was walking across the room, and my mom took that bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon and dumped it in my mouth. And I don't remember not drinking after that. It's part of life. That's what my family did, no matter where we went. Now, I can't tell you when I had my first real drink. I can tell you when I was 9 years old, I was sitting on a wall at R.B. Hayes on 10th and Hayes in Milwaukee, smoking a joint with my buddies. I think I was in the fourth grade. And I got expelled from the Milwaukee public school system that year for things that were beyond my control. It was like a rapid consecutive situations that I put myself in, made choices at that young age to not respect others, you know. So I got sent to the private school systems, fifth grade. My brother and younger sister had already been there, and I think he was kind of mad because now he had to follow me. So I was not the best kid in the world. I had a brother that's a year older than me that was straight A student, got everything right, and here I am, D's, you know. But I didn't care. You know, I really didn't care about school. I didn't care about anything. I cared about what Carl wanted, you know, and pretty much that's how I lived the rest of my life. Now, by the time I got to high school, I was a raging addict and alcoholic. We would meet at school an hour before school. I went to a private high school in Greendale, and we would meet at school, go to the park, party for an hour, hide our bottle and a little container of certs with a couple joints in it, and we would go to school. And then for first hour, we would do cross country and run through the park, right to the bottle, right to the can of certs, you know. And in the time, we would cross country ski right to the bottle, you know. I was talking last night with a friend of mine on a ride. We went to see listen to a speaker last night, and he mentioned something about if there was a tray of drugs and my choice of drugs was gone from the center of that, I would use the rest because it wouldn't matter because I needed to be high. You know what I mean? At 18 years old, I graduated from high school, very luckily. I was 111th out of 113 kids, so my grade point average wasn't too cool. But I graduated from high school. I got a diploma. I got a wedding ring and a union card, all within 3 months of graduating from high school. When I met my wife, she had a six-month-old daughter. I fell in love with both of them, but, you know, us addicts, for me, and if you're an addict of my kind, we want what we want when we want it, and we don't think about nothing. We just jump in. That's what I did. Within the next few years, had a couple more kids. You know, I worked as a carpenter, and you know, when you're in the trades, after work you go to the trailer, and this is back in the day, man. They would, you know, I was the youngest guy on the crew, so at 3 o'clock, they would send me around, collect $5 from everybody, go to the liquor store, and get as many cases of beer as you can buy and one bottle of booze. Don't care what bottle it is. Well, mine was Jack, so that's what I got. But I'd go home on Friday night at 8 o'clock at night, drunker than a skunk, you know. And just life was, that's what life was for me, you know. It was using, and I don't care, I used all kinds of different things, man. You know, it didn't matter. It was whatever I could get my hands on. Till about 1985, my dad passed away in 1984, and I didn't deal with it. I ran from it, and my drug use got real, real heavy. And a friend of mine that's in this room today introduced me to Freebasin. And once that started, life was different. Life changed. Because the rest of the drugs didn't matter at that time. Nothing mattered. Nothing. Nothing in life mattered at all except finding that pipe and getting in my hand. There was a few years that it went slow. And he warned me, you know, he warned me a couple times, it's going to take you, but no, I'm better than you. You know, and I watched my brother and I watched his friend and I was, if I get as bad as those two, I got to do something. You know, and they both told me, you're as bad as me. No, not me, man. I go to work every day, man. I make my house payment. Yeah, right. It was 1989. And my brother and I were out New Year's Eve partying with a bunch of friends. And one of the guys who had everything going for him, I mean everything, he was, his dad owned the business. He just finished his apprenticeship for the business. Dad had a Harley waiting in the shop for him. And his girlfriend broke up with him. And we were partying all night. And he was all upset. And 4 o'clock in the morning, we leave and we all go home, whatever it was. And 10 o'clock in the morning, we get a call that he committed suicide. It was really a shocker, you know, because, you know, I looked at what this, the opportunities this guy's had in front of him, you know, and it was very clear to me that I didn't have those opportunities. And if he didn't have anything to live for, holy smokes, yes, I had kids, and yes, I had a home, and yes, I had a job, and but it was really scary. You know, so we go to his funeral. What do? Disappear for 3 days, party up with the rest of the guys. You know, and I came home on a Monday morning. And I waited for my wife to work, to leave for work, because she worked at the bank where all our money was at, you know. And it was kind of funny because I got home at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 11 o'clock in the morning, she woke me up with the butt of a shotgun, pointed the barrel at my head and said, get up, get out, I'm done. And it was an eye-opener for me because I didn't want to lose my kids. I didn't lose, you know, what I had, you know. And I took a real good hard look at my life. This guy committing suicide, my wife saying she's done. Yeah, I got to do something. So I called my buddy that was, you know, the one that turned me on to Freebasin, because he had been in and out of the program. He's in the program. He's working it, you know. And he took me to a meeting. And I remember sitting in that meeting, and it was like, it was another fellowship, and one of the girls in the breakoff group was talking about aliens, and, you know, I was like, what is going on here, man? I don't know. You know, this is weird. But the other people in the meeting started to make sense, you know. So I kept going back, and I kept going back, and I kept going back to that Friday night meeting. And I got involved, and I did some things that I didn't want to do, but I didn't do everything that I was told to do. You know, this book right here, never picked it up. You know, never. 15 years. Never read it, never looked at it, never. You know, I went to meetings, I got involved, I was the secretary of a meeting, I cleaned ashtrays, I set up, I, you know, brought desserts, I cleaned up after, you know, I was a GSR, I went to as far as the ASR for the area. You know, I mean, I got involved, but I never got a sponsor. I never worked anything beyond that third step, you know, and it was good. I mean, life changed. Everything was fine, man. My job was really going. I got to the highest point in, you know, as a carpenter, you strive to do better, right? You become a foreman, right? That's great. That's awesome, you know. But to be a superintendent, you got to work hard. At 34 years old, I was offered the job as a superintendent for a construction company, one of the biggest ones in the state of Wisconsin. was like, life is great, man. I'm making big money. I got everything. I got the truck. I got the family. I coached my son's basketball team. I coached his football team. I coached my daughter's volleyball teams. And I went to church on a regular basis, was involved in church, all of that stuff. And after about 10 years, I got this. The man in the mirror, he knows what he's talking about. He knows how to handle this, right? I got this. And took me about another 5 years, meeting here and there, you know, not really doing anything to keep my program or my conscious contact with God going. And I was out riding with a bunch of buddies. Been riding with these guys for years, you know, and they all knew I didn't drink, and we were doing a poker run, and we hit one of the bars that we were doing on the poker run. So give me a beer. And I didn't think anything about this program. I didn't think anything about any of you or any of you had said to me. The bartender looked at me and asked me if I was crazy. I said, no, man, I just want to have a beer, man. And I did. And the next 4 years was pretty much what my last 4 years of using was. It was alcohol. And it was a nonstop thing. And I drank really more than I care to remember. I didn't go anywhere or do anything without alcohol for those 4 years. And nothing in my head said stop till I got arrested. You know, and I got arrested for something I would never do, you know. And it's kind of a weird circumstances because we were out partying and took my girlfriend home at midnight. And we got into an argument about me doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. You know how it is when you're drinking, you don't care, you know. And I dropped her off at home and left. And about 1 o'clock, she called me and said, your bike is done. And it wasn't like the first time she's ever done anything. You know, she busted a headlight one time. She drained a battery another time. She flattened the tires another time. You know, it wasn't like it wasn't. So I was like, okay, whatever. So Sunday morning, I wake up and go to her house, and the bike is on its side, and she took a sledgehammer to it. Oh. Yeah, yeah. She totaled it. So I call the cops. You know, cops come, knock on her door. She comes to the door. She's got a black eye and said, I did it. And I can't say I didn't. I don't remember. I was that drunk, you know. I know that they had to call my son that night to come and get me because they wouldn't let me drive home. That wasn't unusual. You know, they would take my keys, call my kid, he'd come and get me. I'd start all over the next day. But what happened was I got arrested for domestic violence. And this is something that I've never had a woman in my life, you know. And now here I am facing charges for something Carl would never do. And I can't deny it because I don't remember. And when I first got arrested, it was like, I didn't do this. It was not me. I don't do that kind of stuff. And standing in front of the judge, and he says, you need complete sobriety for 1 year. And in my head, I'm going, I did that for 15. No big deal. Mm. You know? And then they told me, you got to go see a parole officer. And I was like, oh, that's different. You know? And then you got to take this class, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. I'd never been in that box before. It was a little scary, you know. I didn't want that kind of life. So I called that friend of mine up, and he took me to another meeting. Same guy, you know, took me to another meeting. And that meeting was Tuesday night out at Will. And there was a young lady there that I've known in the past from years before, from the late 80s, early 90s. And the minute I walked in that door, she grabbed me by the arm and said, you got a sponsor yet? And I said, no, I got this. No worries. You know, I've done this before. I know how to do this. And she said, no, you don't. You're back. And I said, shut up. And she didn't. She was very, 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 very forceful that night about getting a sponsor. At the end of the night, it was her and I and another guy standing in the hallway, and she's still asking, did you get a sponsor yet? And I said, dude, would you be my sponsor? So she shuts up. And he said, yeah. like asps. And he's still my sponsor today. But within that next week, I got this book at the Well Group, that first meeting I went to. And he had me read a chapter. And then we met and read a chapter. And then he had me read another chapter. And then we met and read it together. And another one. And then we started doing the steps, something that I had never done before. And when we got to how it works, and he read that line about, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. That word thoroughly hit me hard, because I don't think I ever done anything thoroughly in my life. I've been called a lot of names in my life, father, carpenter, whatever, you know, a lot of names, but I don't think I've done any of those jobs thoroughly, and I needed to do this thoroughly, you know. Then he read something about rigorous honesty, and I don't think I've ever been honest with anybody in my life, even myself. You know, I could lie to myself pretty good and make myself believe it, you know, and I could look you right in the eye and lie to you as well as I could lie to myself, and I know you believe me, you know. And I wanted that to change. So I worked the steps, and I read the big book. And he worked with me, and I remember doing my fifth step up at Green Lake. You know, a very serene, cool place. And I'll never forget it, you know. I'll never forget doing that with him. But I'll never forget doing the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth, you know, and the 11th, and the 12th. Because that's what this program is about. It's not about Carl and how Carl thinks he should work it. It's about how it's supposed to be worked through this book, you know. And it doesn't matter what I used or how much I used or what my bottom was, because we're all different, man. But we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all addicts. This disease is not prejudiced against anybody, anywhere. Age, race, religion, don't matter, man. This disease is a disease that kills. And it happens on a regular basis today. See young kids come in here and see them die because they can't grasp it, you know. And it's not a hard program to work. It's pretty simple, you know. And there's one line that says, keep it simple, stupid, right? And I'm pretty stupid, you know. So I got to keep it simple to work it. So I start working this program, and life changes. Life gets better. It's not perfect. I still have a lot of character defects, but so do you. You're just like me. You know what I mean? And today I can accept that in you because of this program. You know, if your opinion was different than mine before and I seen your character defects come out, you were an idiot because you didn't listen to me. And the only reason that you're not where I am is because you didn't listen to me. You know, today I can see that your opinion matters to you. It's just as important to you as mine is to me. But the thing is, today that's different for me is that I can accept your opinion. And I know it doesn't have to be true, and neither does mine, but it's yours. And you have every right to it just like I do. But before, I would have argued that up and down. What I have today is a conscious contact with my higher power, who I choose to call God. And because of this program, because of what you have taught me, what I've taken with me when I leave these meetings, I have that in my life. And because of that, I get to do a lot of really cool things in my life. I get to ride my motorcycle with friends that ride their motorcycles, which is something that I really enjoy. And I don't have to worry about dropping it because I'm drunk. Believe me, I have. Forgot to put my feet down at a stop and go light. Who does that? You know? Yeah. When I'm drinking, I do. You know, I get to travel a lot today, and I get to travel with friends. You know, I've gone cross country in a car with recovering alcoholics, and had a blast. And didn't have an argument, you know, and didn't have a fight, and didn't get upset because somebody did something. I get to do these things through my church, which I got involved in again, which I hadn't been involved in a long, long time. And I get to travel to different countries today and spread that word that I've been given and share the love that I've been given. And a couple years ago, I was over in the Czech Republic. I was there for 20 days on this thing from church, this mission trip. And it was pretty cool. But I needed a meeting. And I talked to one of the guys, and I says, hey, do you know where there's any AA meetings? And he says, well, in this city, they only hold them in the summertime. I'm like, what? They're only drunk in the summer? What? How does that work? He says, there's one about 40 miles away on a Tuesday we can go to. My uncle, he works there. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So he takes me to this meeting, and I get to this meeting, and it's different. You know, it's like, wow, this is cool. It's different. There's 20 people sitting around the room, on the outside of the room, and then there's two tables with 20 guys sitting at the table. What I find out is, through this interpreter, is that the guys on the outside are members of the church. The guys that are inside are drunks and addicts, and they're homeless, and they're struggling with their disease. And the people at the church are really trying to help these people. And it's kind of cool. They sing some songs and they do some prayers. And the lady stands up and she reads this pamphlet. And he's telling me it's the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got goosebumps going through me like, wow, this is really cool. And then she says, there's an American here who's going to share a story. I'm like, where? And the interpreter goes, that's you, man, you're on. Oh, boy. But what I got out of that was it's everywhere. You know, no matter where we go, it's everywhere. And, yeah, I got to share my story with some people. And when I came home, I shared that story with one of the groups I go to. And what they did was they bought 20 books in Czech, big books. And we sent 20 books and some pamphlets in their language that they got from, I don't know even where they got them from, because they didn't have them at central office. But they got them. And we sent them to this guy. And now the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is in Czech. And why is that? Because God put me in a place where he thought I needed to be. No other reason. It had nothing to do with me. Just God used me as a tool, which I believe he does on an everyday basis, no matter where I go and what I do today. He loves me. And because of this program, I have an awesome relationship with him today. Because of this program, I have an awesome relationship with a lot of people in my life today. You know, I get pissed at my brother for doing whatever he does, you know. And whatever, being late, you know, whatever. You know, it's like, oh, really, again? You know, but I really have an awesome relationship with him today. You know, I can go to him and share things with him and get a perspective that's not mine. You know, I have friends that I talk to on a regular basis about what's going on in my life. And believe me, I'm far from perfect, man. I got a lot of character defects, man. And I'm working on them. I'm working on them. But because of this program, I have the opportunity to see those today. Before, no way I wouldn't have looked at any of that, you know. I'm a good guy. I treat people good. I just like to party. Yeah. I didn't realize how selfish I was. You know, I remember one time we were going on a road trip. It was the wife and I and three kids. I got gas, and before, you know, you pump the gas, you go into the gas station and pay for it, you know. They ain't like that anymore, but I walked into the gas station, bought one candy bar. Four other people in the car, one candy bar. Yeah, and when I got back in the car and I opened that candy bar, and the wife was like, what is your problem? What do you mean? But that's my selfishness. That's Carl. That's Carl at his core, you know. And I have to be on guard of that every day because I know that can come back. And I've seen it come back in my own life because I didn't follow this program. You know, I didn't follow what this big book tells me to do. I listened to the man in the mirror. And that man in the mirror got me in a lot of trouble. So today I try not to listen to that man in the mirror. When I got something going on in my head, I talk about it. And I know I'm not responsible for that first thought, but I'm responsible for every thought and action after that today. And when I take action, and I'm willing to look at that action and step up and do that action, things change. You know. But nothing that I have is original. It's not mine. I got it from you guys. You know, I got it from each and every one of you telling me how to do this. I got it from my sponsor. I got it from going to these conventions. And, you know, I got it from listening to speakers. And I got it from everywhere this program can give it. Because you know what? I don't want to go back to that way of life. You know, I don't want to be that guy that I thought was great. You know, I just want to be Carl today. And I want to coexist. You know, I want to be a good guy, yeah, but I want to coexist. I want to share the love that was shared with me through these rooms, through you people. You know, I've gotten so much, and I'm so grateful for that. But I wouldn't have any of it if it weren't for this book and this program. You know, 1935, two guys sitting down and talking about what was going on in their lives. You know, and they shared. And what they shared continued on. And because of that, it's here today. And it's available for me, you know. And they talk about service, you know. And the best service that we can do is for the newcomer, you know. And I do a lot of things today. But I always thought being a sponsor, no, I don't want that, man. I don't know how to do that, man. I don't want that, you know. But today I am a sponsor. And today I'm working with guys. And you know what that does? Keeps me in the big book. And, you know, I probably wouldn't read this book if it wasn't for my Tuesday night meeting, which is a big book meeting, and they read the big book. Would I read it on a regular basis? Probably not, you know. So I need that, you know. I need that in my life. Working with sponsees keeps me in the book. Going to my meeting keeps me in the book. I need to stay in this book to keep what I have. And to keep what I have, I need to give it away, share it. And I wouldn't change my life today for the world. You know, people talk about circumstances coming up, and they wouldn't drink over any circumstance. And I'm like, I pray I don't. I pray I don't. I don't know that today because I know I have before. But today I pray I don't. And if I listen to you and don't listen to myself and stay away from that man in the mirror and take what you have given me and use that and really use it, like thoroughly follow that path, I think I might have a chance. You know, and I think I want to share something with you that someone shared with me not too long ago. And it's from page 100. And I kind of read this on a regular basis because it really is true for me today. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When you look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands was better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. And I believe that today. If I put my trust in my higher power, ain't nothing going to take me down. Ain't nothing that I can't survive, no matter what it is, no matter what my present circumstances is, good, bad, or otherwise. I trust in my higher power today, fully. And I'm good. I'm good. I hang around with a lot of you guys, too, though, man. It keeps me in the middle. It keeps me on a regular basis. It keeps me honest with myself and you. You know, I live with two recovering people, and it's kind of hard to mess up when you're in that home. You know, talk about taking others' inventories. No, I'm kidding. But we keep each other honest, you know, and we look out for each other, and we love each other, and wouldn't change it for the world today. I have an awesome relationship with my kids, you know, and I have an ex-wife that really I don't get along with too well, but today at least we talk, and when the kids are involved, we respect each other, and it's only because of this program, you know. I can put that aside because of my kids, but it's only because of this program, what you taught me and how to do that, you know. So no matter what my present circumstances, as long as I trust in my higher power, the wonderful world that I live in. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for listening.